This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hi, today on the podcast, I'm speaking to Laura Gillett. Laura is the founder of Stompers, a children's shoe brand specializing in wide-fitting shoes in fun, affordable styles. At the time of recording this podcast, in the summer of 2022, Laura's shoes weren't actually available to sale. They hadn't launched yet. So we have a really great conversation about what it takes to come up with an idea and then implement an idea for a product. So we're talking entirely about the early stages here of starting up a business. And I really think that particularly if you're in the early stages, but even if you're not, you're going to find this incredibly interesting, eye-opening and inspiring. So I would love now to introduce you to Laura. So hi Laura, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Can we please start with you giving us an introduction to your business and what you sell, please?
Sure. So my name's Laura and I'm the founder of Stompers, which is a children's shoe brand that specializes in wide fitting shoes in fun, affordable styles for toddlers and preschoolers.
Amazing, thank you. And what inspired you to start doing that? Because I think to me, starting up a brand selling shoes just seems like a huge undertaking. So what was the, first of all, what was your sort of reason for wanting to do that? And then we'll talk through how you did it.
Well, my son Ollie was measured as a H-width shoe very early on. He was about one, he was just walking. And I discovered that it was extremely difficult to find anything in his size. All the sort of lovely canvas trainer type shoes were just in far too narrow. The only style that I could find were leather. They were heavy and they were really expensive. They're about £50, so there was just very little choice. And he was just always really obsessed with anything red. He's always loved the color red, so he would always gravitate towards the red shoes, try and pick them up, and I'd have to tell him no. And then one day he was just crying, and I said, right, okay, fine, I'll just make you some. Mummy will make you some red shoes. And so then I thought, well, I have to now. I've got to see my promise. So that's how it started.
That's amazing. And after you told Ollie you were going to make his red shoes, what did you do next? How did you get started?
I literally Googled how to make some shoes because I had no experience in this industry whatsoever. So I did a lot of research about sort of all different types of manufacturing processes overseas in the UK, who could do what. It was very, very easy to find somebody to make shoes in standard widths, but it was a lot harder to find somebody that could actually accommodate the wider widths that I wanted to do. So once I had my sort of initial design prepared, I reached out to a couple of more specialist agencies and got them to sort of go away and have a word with some factories, see what they could do. And I actually came up with one agency who could do exactly what we wanted and to a really high quality and to a really high specification, which was what one of our sort of key points that we wanted to hit.
That's amazing. And did you know right from the start that you were looking to start a business? And perhaps, and we talk about a bit about your range a bit later, but you'd have a range of shoes and you know you were going to turn it into a business, or was it I just want to get this one pair of red shoes made? Where were you right at the outset?
I think we were just because we'd had no experience in this industry at all, we were just kind of like, let's just get to the next stage and see how it happens.
Yeah.
Initially, it did start with just the red ones. And then when we got a bit more momentum and somebody said, yes, we can do this and to this specification, and we got a bit excited and we're like, oh, we can do all these other things. And then we reined it back in and said, well, let's keep it a little bit simpler to start with.
It's hard, isn't it, at the outset, because you don't know whether something's even possible, let alone how you do it. Sometimes you just don't even know. Like you say, I wouldn't know if I would have to go do a lot of research. Can you get, a certain type of shoemade, for example? You just don't know what you don't know. So I think it was a good approach to sort of take it one step at a time. And it also, I think it can be really intimidating as well. I guess if you had thought, right, we're going to create this range of children's shoes and start a business, that's like quite big and scary. Whereas if it's just, let's find out if someone can make them and let's find out how you design them, I think breaking it down like that makes it a bit more manageable as well.
Yeah, it's definitely felt like that. And I think the whole process has taken a long time for various world reasons. The pandemic has not helped. We've also had a baby ourselves during this time, so there's been a lot of things that kind of have taken a little bit longer, so we've really had time to kind of sit and consider at this stage, which has been nice as well.
Yeah, I think it's good as well that there was no rush, because the product that you're looking at is something that, you know, there's always going to be a need for, so I guess it wasn't something you had to rush out in 3 months or 6 months or whatever. I mean, it's nice that you've been able to do it around your family. And am I right in thinking that you work alongside this as well?
Yes, I do have a full-time job as well. Yeah,
so yes, so you've got a lot on your plate with a new baby and a full-time job, so I think it's good that you've been able to make this fit around that. So where did you, so you spoke a bit about finding someone to make the shoes, but how about actually designing the shoes? Do you have a design background, or did you have to find someone to help with that side of it?
I don't have a design background, but I did have, from a sort of a parent point of view, there were some design features that I knew I wanted to have, just from a practical point of view. So I knew I wanted to have two Velcro straps to give a lot of flexibility in the fit, so that if it's wide feet aren't necessarily just wide at the base, and I've got high instep, so I wanted to make sure that they were really adjustable. I wanted a reinforced toe cap because kids just scrape their feet all the time, so I wanted to make sure that was nice and tough. And the sole, I've made the sole of the shoe just straight lines, so that it's nice and easy to clean, because kids step and stuff all the time, and it's horrible having to try and scrub out of a complicated pattern. So I've made it so you can literally just scrub it with a nail brush and it's all nice and easy. So there were certain design elements that I wanted, but no, without having a design background, I couldn't actually translate that into something. So I hopped onto Fiverr and I got a freelance shoe designer. Luckily, he was fantastic, and I just sent him this really rough sketch of like, can you make this into something a bit more professional? And he did, and he was brilliant, so I definitely had to have some help with that.
That's really good though. It's great that you were able to find someone, because yeah, we can't always do like all of this ourselves. So as well as finding the manufacturer and the designer, because I guess those two go hand in hand really, what happened then?
So after that, there was a lot of back and forth with the supply chain on different samples, different materials, making sure that we got the sizing correct and things like that. And once we'd signed off on the materials that they were going to use, basically, we had to get the tooling made to actually make the outsoles, which were wider than the standard ones. So we got those made, and then we had to test those to make sure that the sizing did actually work. And then once we'd done that, we were able to look at progressing into the final manufacture, at which point we were able to then start thinking about, well, what are they going to come in, what's the box going to look at like, and things like that.
There's so much, isn't there? As you were talking, I was thinking, wow, I bet that process that you've explained really succinctly probably took a really long time, did it? You know, the back and forth with looking at the shoes and checking they were as you wanted them and the sizing was right. There's a lot of pieces involved, aren't there?
That whole process took 12, 14 months, something like that, a long time, yeah.
But I think it sounds like all the time you spend doing that is really worth it, because I can tell by all these little details you've given, how much thought and care you've put into the shoes. So I think that's time well
spent. The
whole
thing's just been so exciting. We've loved it. Like, other people might relax in the evening. I'm there looking at fabric samples and I get really excited, or like cardboard box samples. I think it's been a really nice, I call it my expensive hobby.
Well, yeah, for now maybe, but I think, you know, this, it is a business now, isn't it?
It will, yes. The final manufacturer is landing tomorrow, so we'll be ready to go.
Wow. So I should point out actually that we're recording this in July. So when you're listening to this episode, it'll be September or later. Yeah, you will be able to go and order the shoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is amazing. And tell us what does your range look like as of now, because I know by September it might be different, but what styles of shoes are you launching with?
So we are launching with a very basic canvas style trained shoe, just like you can get in any other shoe shop, just wider. We've gone with grey and red initially. I was quite keen to do away with the whole boys section and girls section, because I think that kids should just be allowed to wear what they're happy in and what they like. So we went for two very sort of neutral unisex colours that hopefully all kids will be happy with, and most importantly they'll feel comfortable in.
And do you offer a range of sizes at the moment?
Yeah, so we've started with 6, 7, 8 and 9. That, from my research, seems to be about average between the ages of 1 and 4. I would like to expand that to include 5 on the lower end and 10 and 11 on the upper end. Before that, kids seem to, they're not walking as much, and they shouldn't really be wearing hard-soled shoes until they're sort of established and walking, so I don't think we need to go any lower. And then above that, the kids' feet do start to sort of narrow out a little bit naturally anyway, so I think that they're the key sizes. But we're going to start with the 4 initially. We built this all up ourselves, so we didn't have the capital to start with everything straight away. We're going to have to build it up bit by bit and add some more sizes and hopefully some more colors and patterns later.
I think that's a really smart way to do it though, because it's a nice way of sort of testing it out, and we'll talk a bit more about testing in a minute because I know you've done lots of testing, but it's a good way of testing it out without sort of going, going all out, you know, as you say, you might find that there's no demand for the bigger sizes or the smaller sizes. And I think it makes sense to go with what you know from your research are the sizes that people are buying. And then, you know, I think customers will tell you down the line if they think they need different sizes, or if there's a demand for different colors. I think as you know we get going, that's the sort of feedback that you'll get, and then that will help you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be really interesting. One of the things that I've included in the box is a little outline drawing of a shoe for kids to color it in and tag it on social media, because I thought, well, it'd be really interesting if I'm getting 50 kids that are all coloring in a green shoe, but maybe that's what they want.
That's really clever, and that's also really nice as well. So the idea is that they'll colour in the shoe, and then the parent will upload it and tag you in.
Yeah. It's got really a size nice thing on one side, so they can record when they were last measured, because that's something I can never remember with my own children, when I last measured their feet and what size they were. So it's got a chart on one side to do that, and then on the other side they can colour in their own shoes, and I can get a bit of market research at the same time.
Yeah, and a bit of publicity as well. Let's face it, because if they're going to upload these pictures and tag you, that's really nice as well, because that's all content you can use.
Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Well, it's really exciting. I feel like this is all really well thought out, Laura. I'm really impressed. I feel like you've like thought of every little detail.
Oh, thank you.
It's really good. So when you had so let's go back to the manufacturing, and when you had the shoes, the samples, what kind of testing were you doing? So, because I know you mentioned that to me when we spoke previously, you did a bit of testing of them. So how did you do that, and who were you doing that with?
I did it with my son has actually been across 2 of the sizes in the time that we've been doing this. So he's been wearing them for almost a year now. He's been wearing our shoes, and there is no better tester than him. Like, he's a little bit of a wild child. If they can withstand him then we can withstand those kids. I've done runs through the washing machine to make sure, because that was another big thing for me as a parent. I was like, they need to be able to be washed and dried and ready to go in 24 hours again for the next adventure. So we've been doing sort of just lots of everyday use. Obviously, sizing was a big thing. We wanted to make sure. And actually, when I put them on his feet, it was the first time that I'd ever be able to just slide a shoe onto his foot, not have to like wedge it in, which was really nice. And then obviously, because what I was having to do before was buy shoes that were a half size or sometimes a full size too long for him, just so they would fit round his feet. So he's just constantly tripping over his own feet because they're like clown shoes. So it's really nice to see him actually just walking confidently without sort of tripping over or having to adjust his walk. And then for the other two sizes, I found a couple of children locally who had the same problem. So I just gave them a pair and I said, I went and I fitted them and we were happy with how they fitted. And I said, just go away and use them as you would any other pair of shoes. Don't be precious about it. Run, jump, scooter, whatever you want to do. And let me know how they get on. And they had some really good feedback and they all said the same. They washed them and they said they stood up to the test of time really well. So we were happy.
Oh, that's really good. And Ollie's obviously got his red shoes, which he must be delighted about.
He peeled out the box and he's like, Mummy, they're red. I cried.
I think it's great that you did all of that testing, because I think that's something that people can be, I have seen people be a little bit precious with their samples in terms of like not wanting to maybe use them in the way they're designed because they don't want them to get them dirty you know what I mean? And I can sort of see that, especially if you're thinking, well, maybe I'll use these to take my photos or whatever. But I do think the approach you've taken and just use them as you would use them and see how they go is the best way, because obviously it hasn't happened. But, you know, had they fallen apart in the washing machine, for example, that would have been the sort of thing you need to know before you're selling them and customers are returning them for that reason.
Exactly. And actually, the very first samples that we had, the material on the toe cap actually started peeling a little bit. So we were able to go back to the manufacturer and say, can you upgrade this so that this doesn't happen again? So it was really important that they didn't just sit on a shelf or sit in a box, that they were out and about. Otherwise, we would never have known that that was a thing that was going to happen that we needed to rectify.
Yeah, and it's, as I say, it's much better to know this now than to get this feedback from someone who's bought a pair and is disappointed because something isn't working. And it sounds like your manufacturer has been really open to like having that relationship as well and changing things and testing, so that's really good.
Yeah, they are absolutely fantastic. They're actually a company that specialized in Kickstarter brands, so they work with all sorts of different products and companies in taking something from concept right away through to manufacture. So they're really, really good at making all those little tweaks and making all those little suggestions, and they've been really open to listening to my ideas but also throwing in a couple of their own. They've got experts that they reach out to and they're very good at coming back to me and saying, well, you've said this but actually they've suggested that, and what we've come up with has been a really, really good product, but I couldn't have done it without their support, really.
That's amazing. And they are, do you mind me asking, are they UK based?
No, they're based over in China.
Oh, wow. I'm actually really impressed at that service, you know, the service side of it and how much they're willing to work with you. And did you just find them via a Google search or did that come another way?
No, I found them on a Google search. They're based in China, but they're very international. They've got employees from all over the world. And then they obviously have a large Chinese employee base as well. So, because one of the things that I found when I was trying to speak to the factories directly was there's a time difference, there's a language barrier, there's obviously a culture difference that I didn't necessarily understand. So to find somebody who could kind of really bridge that barrier for me has been absolutely invaluable, because they've got really, really strong relationships with the factories. They're able to make sure that what they're asking for is understood, whereas I couldn't necessarily do that. So they've been amazing.
Oh, okay. So this company is like a third party between you and the factory.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And that's amazing. And you're so right. It's really hard to have these kind of relationships. A long time ago, I found a factory that I worked with, and I had an idea for a new product. And it wasn't a brand new product, it was just something original to my ideas. And I remember I found a manufacturer, and it was the Chinese fa the factory directly that I got in touch with. And I found one who was willing to work with me and make samples and send me pictures. And yeah, when that happens, that's like such a good relationship that you really need to hold on to it, because as you said, you also experience, really slow responses and perhaps miscommunications, people not kind of understanding your needs or you not understanding them. So I think it's amazing that you've managed to find a really good manufacturer, and that's, yeah, it's definitely one to hold on to.
Yeah, they've been amazing. I've always said that I'm not particularly good at one particular thing. What I'm good at is finding people that are good at stuff, and they've been worth their weight in gold.
That's really good. That's really interesting that you said that. That's good to know that that's a skill. So is that kind of part of your strategy of taking the business forward, that you'll find people that are experts in different areas to help?
Yes, absolutely.
Think that's a really smart approach, because I think none of us can be good at everything, but sometimes outsourcing or paying someone to help can be a bit scary. So I think it's really good that you've recognized that now, because I think it's too easy to hold on to things for a long time just because you kind of want to keep it all. But sort of recognizing that other people might be better at certain things, I think, is actually a really real strength.
And I think in the long run, it definitely saves money, because if you're trying something that's not working, you're spending a lot of your own time and money doing it. I think you're going to get much quicker results if you go to somebody who does know what they're doing. And what I've found is that there's a lot of people out there who know about things, but they also want to work with you and they want to teach you. So I've picked up a lot of information just from talking to people like photographers and things like that, and it's been really lovely. I've met one of my favorite things about the whole process is the people that I've met and the conversations that I've had during it. There's some really creative and wonderful people out there. They're always willing to give you a hand if you ask for it.
Yeah, you're right. And that's always been my experience as well, that if you're open to like making relationships with people, it's like, yeah, the people just come, really, don't they? And
Yeah.
I think it's great to have a network, because I guess you also needed to outsource. I'm assuming, you can tell me if I'm wrong on any of this, but the sort of the box design and the website and things like that.
Those I actually did myself.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the website Shopify is like a web, it's just an amateur's dream, isn't it? It's not particularly complicated to do. So I spent some fun evening, but again, this is because I don't have any kind of time scales or deadlines. I was able to just take my time and play around with it. So the nice evening is just sat with a glass of wine playing around with that. And then the box design, I think it's only a logo on a background, so that wasn't too difficult. I was able to just send over the logo. But some of the other designs, so inside the shoes, I've got footprints. One for the left and one for the right, so that kids can sort of look and work out which feet goes in which shoe based on the toes. And then the logo itself, that was all done by a really lovely graphic designer that I met through my hairdresser. And she did the logo design for my hairdresser, so I pinched her and she's done some lovely artwork for me through that.
That's really good, and it's nice that you've been able to sort of do the bits that you feel comfortable to do and you want to do, and then outsource the others. Well, I'm with you on Spot and not Spotify, Shopify. I'm a huge fan of Shopify as well. And actually, when I first started selling my own products years ago now, I built my own Shopify website, because that did feel like doable.
Yeah.
And I think, because you can't, as much as like I've always been a, well, I say always, now I'm definitely a fan of outsourcing things that I'm not an expert in. Back then, maybe not so much. But I think even then, I kind of realized, okay, I can, this is something I can actually do. And I know money, right in the beginning, money can be tight as well. I think in the beginning, the only things I outsourced were the design aspects, so design of my products and design of the logo and things like that, because I was just like, that's just beyond me. But sort of
Yeah.
putting together a Shopify website felt doable.
Yeah, I think absolutely right. And because it's only a couple of products I've got, if we expand, then I will definitely have to go to an expert, because it's all of the backlinks and meta tags and linking to social media shops and things like that. That's where I start getting a bit overwhelmed with all the technical details. But yeah, outsourcing is definitely, and it's things like insurance as well. I was trying to get insurance and I just got completely lost in what I needed. So I found a local broker. I've tried to go with other local businesses as much as possible. And they were fantastic. They did everything. They came back to me with all the information. They listened to all my stupid questions and never judged me for asking them. So they've been really good too.
I think that's really good, because you're right, it can be really intimidating sometimes to ask the stupid questions. And when you talk about insurance, I remember looking for my own insurance online and spending quite a long time trawling websites and reading small print and trying to work out, okay, is this what I want or is this what I want? And yeah. It kind of feels productive because you're doing something, but actually in the end it can sort of just be easier to pick up the phone or walk in and see somebody and just get your questions answered. I think it can be a bit of a false economy, can't it? You think you're saving time and money, but you're possibly doing the opposite, because especially when you don't have lots of time, how you spend your time is really important.
Absolutely. I always think ask an expert.
So we're recording this in July and you said your products are arriving tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow? Yeah. What happens tomorrow? What's planned? Do you have anything planned for a launch or?
Well, they've still got to clean customs. So of course, I'm still going to cross it. I'm hoping that beginning of August is when we can really do our big launch day. But until I've got that email that says they're through customs, I'm not going to celebrate too hard. I'm really trying not to, because the shipping delays at the moment are incredible. So we're already 2 weeks behind schedule. So I'm really hoping we're not going to go anymore. But I'm hoping that they are going to be here by the end of July. We're obviously going to have lots of family selfies with 1,000 shoe boxes in our spare room if they fit. That's a big if. And then we're going to really start ramping up some of the advertising, some of the PR, really starting talking about it, because what I've tried to not do, I've tried to create a bit of interest, but also I don't want people to hear about things too soon and then get bored if there is a bit of a delay. It's kind of trying to time it right with sort of raising brand awareness, but not too soon.
I know what you mean. It's hard as well, because I guess it's also a product where you can't necessarily take pre-orders because kids grow, and you don't want someone ordering a size of shoes now and then in 6 weeks when they're ready they say, well, actually now my child's feet have gone up a size or half a size or whatever. That is tricky. I'm with you. I think it's definitely good to be talking about it, and obviously you've got your social media set up and things like that, but I think you're right to do the big push once people can actually go and buy.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And
kids just grow pretty quickly.
they really do. I mean, it's nearly the end of the school year now, and I can see one of my children's shoes are getting a bit tight, and I just think, no, we have to wait till September to hold on, because they will grow in that time. And is your plan to sell on your own website straight away, or do you have anything else that you're considering? I say considering because I know that this is all a process and you can't do everything straight away, but is there anything else you're thinking about doing beyond your website?
Definitely going to start with website and social media. One of the things that I'm interested in looking at going forward is children's shows, like the baby and toddler show, or maybe even the Ideal Home show. I think with shoes, sometimes people do like to try them on, especially if you've had issues with fitting, and it makes you a bit nervous to try something new and something unknown. And so I think having that physical presence in places is going to be really helpful for parents to try and see. So trade shows is definitely one. Also, there's a couple of pop-up opportunities local to me that I'd like to explore as well, but I think I'd like to see how the summer goes on the website first, start building up some views, start getting some proper sort of feedback from customers, and then see where we go from there.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I think doing things slowly is really sensible because, well, one, because of as we've said, you only have so much time, but also I think doing everything in stages and doing it well is definitely, I think, a better approach than trying to just do it all, be everywhere from day one. Because I think that's exhausting. And then also it's really hard to work out, well, what is it that's working? If you're doing it, you know, if you're spreading yourself quite thin, it's hard to say, okay, well, that's working really well.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to be realistic with our time as well. I mean, my husband and I, we both work full time. We do have three children and we're doing this as well. So we can't do everything all at once. We would just burn out, and that's not healthy for the business or the family or our employers. So we have got to kind of be realistic with how we can see things going in the future.
Oh, and it's exciting. And as I say, when people are listening to this now, the shoes will be available to buy. So we'll make sure we link to your website and your social media in the show notes for the episode, because hopefully they'll have been on sale for at least a month by then. So that's really exciting. I've got one final question before we finish, which is one I ask everybody, which is, what would your number one piece of advice be for any other product creators listening?
So I thought really hard about this question, actually, and I kept changing my mind. But I think my number one piece of advice would be to spend your time before you spend your money on really doing your research into your market, your customer, making sure that there is definitely an opportunity out there. I obviously knew the product well, because I was the target market. I was the parent who couldn't find shoes, and I knew exactly what a parent needed, but I had to still do a lot of research into what was available, how many other parents out there were having that problem, before I decided to commit any of my own money to the project. Because the last thing you want to do is get very excited that you found this niche or you found this gap, took loads of money, and then realize that actually there isn't anything out there, or there is something out there that you've missed. So I definitely think that spending your time before your money is a really, really important point to consider.
Oh, I love that, thank you. You probably heard I talk about this all the time. I'm completely in agreement, and you're right as well that even if you are your own perfect customer, it's really good to do the research just to check that this issue isn't unique to you, and that, as you say, there's enough other people with the same issue. Because I think in a way, when you're creating something that meets a need that you have, it can be too easy to go down a single track of, well, this is what would suit me, and you see what I mean? And of course, I disregard the rest of it. I think that's something I see. So I think it's amazing that you've still spent so much time doing the research. And I really think it pays off. I know that often people are really keen to just get to the fun part, because research, let's face it, can feel a bit dull. I like it, but I don't know if anyone does. But I think that it's well worth spending that groundwork, because as people can hear when you've just spoken to us, your shoes, you thought of like so many little details, and you possibly wouldn't have done if you hadn't spent all of that time at the front end or working out what people actually need. So I think you will have had a better product for it.
I think so, yeah. It's definitely worth taking into consideration what other people have said as well as your own, and then just combining that together to get something that hopefully should suit everybody.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and for all of your time this morning, Laura, because I know you're busy, so I do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening right to the end of this episode. Do remember that you can get the full back catalogue and lots of free resources on my website, vickyweinberg.com. Please do remember to rate and review this episode if you've enjoyed it, and also share it with a friend who you think might find it useful. Thank you again, and see you next week. Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.